turn to John chapter 7. Thinking what Tommy, you said back there in the prayer in the men's meeting. It's not that he would hate one. That certainly could be understood how he could, with his holiness, but how he could love any, how he could be merciful unto us, and how thankful we are that he didn't pass us by. Turn with me to John chapter 7, verse 43. John 7, verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. I was thinking while studying and preparing this message, I can't think of a time in my lifetime, and that's been a short amount of time, but I can't think of a time when there has been as much division in our country and really around the world as there is what seems to be right now, at this very minute. And it would certainly be easy to get caught up in those things. It would be so easy to devote our time and spend a whole lot of time on the division that's in this world. But this division that we read of here, it was because of him. It was because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of who he is. Because of what he said. I believe that most division in this world, it's a result of us insisting on our own way. I suspect just about all division could probably be tracked back to that. I want it this way. Somebody else wants it a different way. In marriage, isn't that true? Just in about any situation. You know, the scriptures declare in marriage the two shall be one. And that's a great mystery. What a mystery that truly is. The two shall be one. Two separate people. How they can live together in harmony. That's the result of not always having my way. There's no doubt some compromising. Children and parents, business, just any aspect of our life. Think about all the way back there in the garden. How did Adam start this whole mess? God said this is the way it will be, and Adam basically said, "No, I want it my way. I want to eat of that tree." And it wouldn't have mattered what it was. God told him not to. Adam would have wanted whatever, the opposite of whatever God told him. And though division is common in this world, it should not be common among believers. It should not be common among his people. You know, in our homes, the scriptures declare, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as in the Lord. It says this, it says husbands, the word says husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, if we could just do those two things right, I can't imagine there would be any. There'd be no debate over who took the garbage out. I mean, those little things. There would be no debate over anything, would there? If we could just get those two things down. How about this? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. for this, this is right. It's right to obey your parents in the Lord. If our children were to do that, wouldn't our homes be a much more peaceful place? Huh? It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't be overly harsh. You know, I can definitely speak that one from experience. How often do we think of our children as little adults? We expect them to be little adults. Don't be overly harsh on our children. In the home, God's word says this, that the husband and wife are heirs together of the grace of life. You know, there shouldn't be any division. And there, as long as we live on this earth, and as long as sin dwells in this body, that there will be. But there, as a believer, there's no reason for there to be division in our homes. What about in the church? What about when God's people meet together? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 25. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 12:25, he says this. He says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That word schism, it means division. There should be no division. And though members of the church differ in gifts, and in personality, and in honor, and in so many different ways, we should all have the same love and care for each other. When one member suffers, we suffer with them. When another member, when they're honored, we rejoice with them. We're members of His body. You know, when you break your arm, well, you don't cut it off and throw it over the hill, do you? I mean, you nurture it. You hold it in close to the rest of your body. And that's what God's Word says. One body, joined together. No division. Well, turn to John chapter 13. Look at verse 34. John 13, verse 34. This is our Lord speaking. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. How much? As I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, not by a bumper sticker, not by posting the Ten Commandments out in your front yard, by this, he says, shall all men know that you're my disciples. How? That you love one another. That's what God's Word says here. No schism, no division among God's people, no division in our homes. And what about in this world? What about our walk in this world, our day-to-day walk in this world? Romans 12:18 says this, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, not the fruits, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. We're to live peaceably with all men. He says, as much as lies in you. But you know, we can only walk so far with this world, can't we? Isaac was telling us a story about a little encounter down at the park, and some woman came up and started asking him some questions. And he said, we kind of debated back and forward a little bit about what the gospel really was. And she was talking a whole lot about works. And Isaac was talking a whole lot about grace. And he finally said, he looked at her and he said, you know what, she was from Ohio, but he said, finally I had to just look at her and say, look, I think about the only thing we're going to be able to agree on is we're both from Ohio. Have a good day, right? We can walk with this world so far, but there's a point in which that division is clear, isn't it? Turn back to John 7. John chapter 7. Look beginning with verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Jesus had not yet been glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard that saying, they said, of a truth, this is a prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said, Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Which leads us again to our text here. So there was a division. A division because of him. Make it very clear, this division, it was because of him. It was because of him. And it's a division that can be seen throughout God's Word. Starting back in the Old Testament, wasn't there a difference? Wasn't there a clear division back there in the days of Noah? Now think about that. Those who rebelled and had no refuge during that great flood, when God's judgment was upon the earth, but yet we read Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah and his family, 8 souls saved by water. Outside of that ark, the only thing that divided Noah and the rest of humanity was that ark. Outside that ark was death and destruction and judgment. What about in the ark? What was the difference? That ark. In the ark was peace, safety, refuge, life. Life in Christ. That ark pictured Christ. How about Cain and Abel? Pretty clear division there, wasn't there? Cain brought the fruits of his labor. He brought the works of his hands. I imagine he held those potatoes or whatever he had up and, boy, look at these. Look at what I have done. But not Abel. Abel brought that blood sacrifice. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. A sacrifice. Why was that so meaningful? It pointed to Christ. It pointed to Christ, our sacrifice. Christ, our substitute. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And Cain rose up and slew his brother. Clearly a division there, wasn't there? He slew his brother. Turn to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. Exodus 11, 7. You know, God put a difference. He put a difference between His people. He put a difference between Israel and the people of Egypt. He said this. He said, against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. God's chosen people, God's elect, Israel. You know, God sent he sent those plagues on the Egyptians, and over and over again he said, I'll put a division between my people and thy people. He sent that grievous murrain, that disease, upon the cattle, and all of the cattle in Egypt died. What about in Goshen? What about the children of Israel? It says, of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. He put a difference. God sent hail. He sent the hail, and it destroyed everything in the field, man, beast, herb. Everything that it smote was broken. But in Goshen, there were the children of Israel were, not a drop of hail, not one. God sent darkness for 3 days. 3 days in the land of Egypt. Darkness, it's so dark that you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. Darkness that could be felt. I don't know how dark that is. I imagine that's dark though, isn't it? But what about in Goshen? In Goshen, we read that, listen, in all those houses where the children of Israel dwelt, there was light. There was light. Isn't that true today? There's darkness throughout this world. But God's people, there's light. There's light to reveal His Word. Light revealed to His people. And that final plague that He sent, death of the firstborn. You know, among the Egyptians, there was a great cry that went out. There wasn't a house in Egypt where there wasn't death. But the children of Israel, God passed over them. What was the difference? What made the difference? It was the blood. He said, take a lamb, slay it, put the blood on the door. And when God saw that blood, he passed by every one of those houses. Aren't we thankful? Aren't we thankful that we're under the blood of Jesus? And he passes over a division, a difference because of him. In Mark chapter 10, Peter speaking, he spoke to the Lord and he said, lo, he said, we've left all and we've followed thee. And the Lord Jesus answered him. He said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands. Why? For my sake. For the sake of the gospel. And this gospel, it divides. It divides. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. Now this is the words of the Lord Himself. He says, suppose you that I'm come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, rather division. You know, to one it's a savor of death. This gospel, to one it's a savor of death unto death. But to others, oh, how thankful we are, it's a savor of life unto life. One hears and rejoices. One hears and falls at his feet and begs for mercy. Another hears and raises his fist to God and says, I'll not have this man reign over me. It's a gospel that divides. God's word. Now quickly, just real quickly, I want us to look at four scriptures. Four scriptures that divide men in our Lord's time when he walked this earth and continue to divide men, to divide men in our day. Turn first to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse 31. Here we read, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." That sounds like division to me, right? That sounds like pretty clear division. Why? Why? Why did they do that? Well, let's read on. Look at verse 32. Why would these so-called... These were religious folks, right? Why would these so-called religious men seek... If you're going to throw stones at somebody, it's not to change their mind about something. It's to kill them, isn't it? Why would they do that? Look at verse 32. Jesus answered them. He said, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works... For which of these works do you stone me?" Was it his good works? You know, he went about healing the sick, giving sight to the blind. He made lepers whole. He made the deaf to hear. He turned water to wine. He fed thousands with five loaves and two fishes. He raised the dead. "For which of these good works are you stoning me?" Do you still have John 10? Look back at verse 22. It was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. Jesus walked into the temple, Solomon's porch. Jesus, he came to the Jews around about him. They said to him, "How long do you make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, and he said, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Look at verse 30. He said, "I and my Father are one." That's when the Jews took up stones to stone him, wasn't it? What's he saying here? Huh? Why the division? Why were these so-called religious leaders going to stone the Lord Jesus Christ? They said, "We stone you not for a good work, but thou, being a man, makest thyself God." That's why they wanted to stone him. Jesus Christ is God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is God in human flesh. His name declares who he is. Emmanuel, being interpreted. What is that? He said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted as God with us. God with us. They wanted to see him as just a man. Oh, but he's so much. He's the God-man. He's God in human flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said this. He said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." He's God Almighty in human flesh. The world will have him as a man. You know, that they have no trouble putting him in a little plastic manger over the holidays. And carrying him around and having little statues that they can do what they want with. They'll not have him as God who reigns and rules in all things. They'll have him as a reformer, a frustrated reformer. They'll have him as an example. They'll have him as one who went about doing good, a worker of miracles. But they will not have him as God Almighty. They will not bow to him for who he is. Listen to 1 Timothy 3. I'll just read this. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Great is the mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ is God. There was a division. And you know, if we read on, some sought to stone him. That was their desire, to stone him, to kill him, to get rid of him. But if we read on in John 10, we'll see this. Many, many believed on him. Do you believe that statement? Do you believe that truth? Jesus Christ is God. The second point. Look at Luke 4, verse 29. Here in verse 29 of Luke 4, we read that they rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Sounds like they were divided there. They wanted to not just throw him over a hill, but throw him over a hill head first. Why would they do that? What had he said that would get them stirred up that much? Well, look back at verse 25. Our Lord speaking, he said, "I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land. Many, many widows. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman, to that one little widow woman." One. Let's read on. He said, "Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue," think about where they're at here, okay? "In the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath and rose up, thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." Why the division? What stirred that crowd to such an awful thing? Well, the same thing then that stirs him today. His sovereign, electing, distinguishing grace. His right to say, "I'll save this one and I'll pass these by." Back in the Old Testament, Moses asked God, he said, "Show me your glory. Show me your chief glory." And God told Moses, he said, "I'm going to make all my goodness pass before thee. I'm going to proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." And he said this, "I'll be gracious. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And I'll show mercy to whom I will show mercy." What does God owe us? What does God owe any of us? The only wage I read of in His Word is the wages of sin, and that's death. That's what He owes man. That's, if we're going to be perfectly honest about it, that's not what this religious world thinks. Oh, they're building mansions in glory. With He said, "I'll be merciful unto whom I'll be merciful." That offends the natural man's pride. That goes against his pride. I'm a sinner. If God's pleased to save me, it's by His sovereign grace. It's all of Him. And that causes division. It caused division when our Lord walked this earth, and it causes division today. these folks heard this, and they were going to cast him over the cliff. But if you read on in verse 32 of Luke 4, it says he came to Capernaum. Just shortly after that, he came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he taught on the Sabbath. Those folks, they didn't desire to throw him over. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he spoke as one with power. How could he do that? Because he is all-powerful. He's sovereign. He's sovereign. Turn back with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look, beginning with verse 60 and 61. John 6, verse 60 and 61. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying." This is a hard saying. Who can hear? When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? Does this offend you?" What had he said? What had he said? Look back at verse 53 of John 6. Verily, verily, John 6, verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. What was he saying here? What was he saying? Eating his flesh, drinking his blood. This is union with Christ. This is union with this is Christ dwelling in us. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. A living, vital union that the believer has with Christ. He said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That union, that communion, that fellowship we have with Christ. I am totally and completely dependent upon him. You know, if a fellow doesn't have anything to eat or drink, he's going to die. He said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, that man's going to live." I'm completely dependent on him. And as the Father and Son, I can't wrap my head around this, but as the Father and the Son are one, what he has, what the Lord Jesus Christ has, we have. His righteousness. We have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where He is, He's seated in glory. That's where we are. What did the Scripture say? It says this: as He is, so are we. Right now. And we constantly feed on Him and look to Him. What was the division? Union. Union with Christ. You know, some said this. They said, "This is a hard saying. This is a hard saying. Who can hear? The Scriptures, if we read on, it says this. It says that many of his disciples, they went back and they walked with him no more. No more. Do you still have John 6? Look at verse 67. Our Lord, he looked to the 12, and he said this. He said, "Will you go away? Will you go away? Does that offend you? Will you go away?" Simon Peter answered him. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall... Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Well, my fourth point. What divides men? What divided men in Christ's day and continues to divide men in our day? Look at John chapter 8 in verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Again, this is in the temple. Religious people, right? Went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why? Why did they on this occasion want to stone him? Look at verse 41. Look back at verse 41. Our Lord said this. He said, You do the deeds of your father. You do the deeds of your father. Now, they were a little confused about who their father was here. Your father, the devil, right? And they said to him, we be not of fornication. We have one Father, even God. We be not of fornication. We're not sinners. We're not sinners. That's what they said. We're not sinners. He told these men that they were sinners. And it upset them. It upset them. Does that offend you? Does that offend you? Tom, does that offend you? You're a sinner. You know, at one time, it did. It did. There was a time when I didn't think I was a sinner. Right? But Lord, when the Lord's pleased to reveal that to us. I remember Brother Henry telling one time, he said he was preaching on the TV, and he was telling people they were sinners. And I just, you know, I picture him there pointing out into the TV, you know. So here he is in front of the camera, and there's all these people staring at the TV. And he said this. He said, I'm a sinner. And then he turned his finger and he said, you're a sinner. And he said, a fella, I don't know if he called him or wrote him a letter or showed up at the church, and he was mad. He was mad. Henry said, what are you mad about? He said, well, he said, I wasn't upset. I wasn't upset at all when you said you were a sinner. But he said, when you said I was a sinner, he said, that upset me. That's no different in this day, is it? Huh? No different then. What do the Scriptures declare? All have sinned. What's so hard to understand about a small three-letter word? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, look here at John chapter 8. Look back at verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you'd love me. You'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. The natural man cannot hear. He said, you're your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. By nature, we're all the children of wrath. He was a murderer from the beginning, it bode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. The natural man cannot and will not hear the truth. Verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Man is utterly without excuse. He that is of God heareth God's word. Isn't that what the Scripture says? He said, my sheep hear my voice. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear, you hear them not, because you're not my sheep. John chapter 7, verse 43. There was a division. There was a division because of him. Because of him. Jesus Christ is God. That statement divides men. His sovereign, electing, distinguishing grace. That divides men. Union with Christ, being completely dependent upon him. That divides men. Man is a sinner. Apart from Christ, man's a sinner. Does that offend you? Does that offend you? Will you go away? Will you go away being told those things? I hope we can all say what Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. I pray God would bless his word to our hearts today. But let's go to our Lord in prayer.